Was, you know, we had a double parsha, that's why there's so many svarim. So I just wanted to connect a little bit the two parshios that we read, right? It's never coincidence, right, Alex? Never coincidence. So the two parshios that we read Parsha Shemini, and of course it was also Parsha Parah. Since these are, it's connected to themes that we've been discussing in other contexts anyway. Particular discussion of Nasa V'Nishpa and kind of an ongoing discussion about Kabbalah Satorah.
Cherev Kechol.
So, what's that?
Cherev Kechol, Parshas Parah.
Oh, that's true. Cherev Kechol. I was thinking about that also, and then I said, probably shouldn't push my luck. And then since we have Chulin next year, there are some extra things to say, I figured, Maybe they'll let me do it then. But yeah, that far I was a little bit reticent. But of course, the beginning of Parshas Parah constitutes, the ultimate chok, as we know. And I thought it was just very curious and interesting that this overlap between the two parshios, particularly one aspect, as we'll soon see. Now, the Gemara says in Gittin on Samach Aban Aleph, that the parsha of Paraduma in the beginning of Parshas Chukas was said actually in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the day of the Hakamas HaMishkan. We just read of the Hakamas HaMishkan, of course, in Parshas Shmini. The Shmini Lemiluim was the day that Shehukam Bo HaMishkan. The Gemara seems to connect it, and Mefarshim even more so, to a pragmatic consideration, and that is Rosh Chodesh Nisan is, time certainly, to start focusing on the Korban Pesach, and which is why we read, of course, Parshas Parah at this time, and therefore, it was necessary to articulate this parsha so that people would be able to make sure. To enable them to participate in the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is one of the two mitzvot aseh sheyesh bahem kares, which means that it's not just abstaining from the Korban Pesach, or even being in a state where you can't participate is not merely the loss of an opportunity to fulfill an important mitzvah. But it seems to be much more than that. The Chiyuv Kares, as in Mila, implies that it's urgent that, on a positive level, that Klal Yisrael be engaged in this mitzvah. And that to some extent, avoiding the mitzvah, especially when you have the opportunity, is like a rejection of the mitzvah. Again, we've talked often, about the fact that in 90% of the cases, kumbases and shevaltases are what they appear to be. Right? We measure them based on whether people are passive or active. But here and there, in both directions, but especially in the direction, certain Sheval Tases are kind of kumvases. They're viewed as a conscious decision and as an emphatic, rejection. So that is true about Mila, and it's also true about Korban Pesach. There might be a distinction between them, but that's not for now. And therefore, preparing for being in a state where one could participate is a critical and crucial thing. But I thought that in addition to that, since Paraduma is the ultimate chok, this is my speculation now, that it also is particularly connected to another aspect of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the day of Hakamas HaMishkan, and that is the story of Misas B'nei Aharon, which we read about in Shmini, right? They have the joy of the Bayhi Bayoma Shmini, and it's followed up with Aaron HaKohen's, seemingly initiative, taking the initiative and being Mevarech as Klal Yisrael through Nesias Kapayim. That's the way that Chazal understand it. And then Moshe Rabbeinu joins in. Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron el Ohel Moed v'yetzu v'yivarechu es ha'am. Another bracha, and then after that we hear of this tragic event, right? Vayikhu, presumably in the high of Hakamas HaMishkan, You have Vayikhu b'nei Aaron Nadav Aviyu Ishmach Taso Vayitnu b'hain Eish Vayisim aleim Ketores Vayakribu l'fnei Hashem Eish Zara Hashem Lotziva Osam. This of course meant to contrast to Vateitze Eish Milifnei Hashem Vatochal Mizbeach Esola Alachalavim Vayar Kalam Vayaronu Vayiplu Al Pneihem. So Nadav and Aviyu wanted to go even further, and they brought a Ketores Zara Asher Lo Tziva and Vateitze Eish, same Eish Milifnei Hashem. In this case, Vatochal Osam Vayamusu Lifnei Hashem. And then, of course, we know of the response of Moshe Rabbeinu to Aaron and to his children and Vayidom Aaron and everything that goes with it. So, in the immediate aftermath of that tragedy, the Torah curiously tells us of the parsha of Shesuye Yayin in the Mikdash and in Horah. We're told by Dabra Hashem el Aaron Lemor, Yayin v'shecher al teish ato v'necha itach v'vo'achem el o'al moed v'lo samusu. And it's interesting that the Torah says about this, chukas olam l'doroseicha. The Torah characterizes it as a chuk. And then the next pasuk, lahabdil ben ha-kodesh ben ha-chol, ben ha-tomei ben ha-tahar. It's not clear what that pasuk, just reading the pshat, it's not clear what that pasuk refers to. Rashi says that it refers to the previous pasuk. In other words, a way of distinguishing between Tameh and Tahar and Kodesh and Chol is to make sure that you're not nichnas in the Mikdash in a state, and certainly not oved the avoda in a state, which is improper. That's what Rashi says. If I can find it, Lahavdil Kadesha Tavdilu Bein Avoda Kedosha LeMechuleles Salamarit Shem Avad Avodasa Psula. But it's not so clear in the pshat that that's what it refers to, because in the next pasuk is this other fascinating thing which we talked about once. I'm going to get back to Lahoros Es Bnei Yisrael Es Kol HaChukim Asher Diber Hashem Aleihem Biad Moshe. So the Gemara says increases that this pasuk refers to the Isur of Horah in a state of inebriation, state of Shesuye Yayin. In light of which, it's possible to consider the possibility that when the Torah says, Olahavdu ben HaKodesh ben HaChol ben HaTamei ben HaTahar, that it refers not to the previous Pasuk, but maybe to the subsequent Pasuk, Ulaharosas b'nei Yisrael, meaning regarding being Mavdil ben Kodesh HaChol ben HaTamei ben HaTahar, or that it refers to both aspects, meaning it refers to what Rashi says, meaning there you are again. Good to see you. Rav Menachem Schrader, very Chashava Talmud Chacham from Eretz Yisrael joining us. So this pasuk perhaps is intentionally ambiguous, that it refers really to both the pasuk that precedes and the pasuk that follows. The way that Rashi interpreted the preceding, and of course the way that it follows, it's a natural connection to Lahoros Es Bnei Yisrael. But again, it's fascinating that we're told that Lahoros Es Bnei Yisrael Eis Kol HaChukim Asher Diber Hashem Aleihem Biad Moshe. So both in the first pasuk and the third pasuk, with the Lahavdil in sandwiched in between, the Torah characterizes these two aspects as being connected with Chukim. And I'm just making the Ha'ara based on the Gemara in Gittin. That is that, the Parsha of Paraduma, the ultimate Chok, right, Chukas HaTorah, and hopefully we'll have a chance to discuss it for a minute or two at least. Some of the Mepharshim, at least in Parshas Chukas, suggest that the phrase Chukas HaTorah, right, is one which should command our attention. In other words, it isn't just telling us they could have said, Chukas Paraduma, or many other alternative ways to convey the extensive dinim of Paraduma, which are elaborated in that parsha. But by using the phrase Chukas HaTorah, it sounds like, and again, they say different things about it, but Arachayim and the Kli Yakar in particular, that whole group of Mefarshim, more so than the Rishonim, zero in on this point, but they have incredible literary sensitivity, picking up on that. It sounds like there's something about Chukim in that particular Chok, but Chukim in general, that is like a perspective on Torah, Chukas HaTorah. Similarly, of course, in Parshas Bechukosai, we're told you know, in B'chukosai Telechu and Chazal, the Sifra that Rashi quotes jumps in immediately, you know, that it doesn't refer to Kiyum HaMitzvos, right? It refers to a Melus Batorah. So the Parsha and Chukas and the Parsha and B'chukosai, both of which project, you know, Chukim in a very prominent way, both seem to connect it not merely to the details, you know, that are spoken about in those particular parshios, but it seems to be about a perspective on Torah itself. So, in light of that, when we read this interesting parsha in the aftermath of this tragedy of Bnei Aaron, right, and the two applications are both characterized as chukim, chukas olam l'doro sechem, and lahoris es Bnei Yisrael is kala chukim asher dibar Hashem aleim biad Moshe, I think at least it's possible that that we, you know, could gain a lot of insight by thinking what chukim have to do, particularly with this particular context, especially in light of the broader reference that chukim has in the other parshios in the Torah. Of course, there's another puzzle here, and I alluded to it by mentioning that the Lahavdo ben HaKodesh ben HaKol ben HaTamei ben HaTar is a sandwich pasuk in between the two, and where you could argue just in the pshat, certainly, you know, which pasuk or both, I prefer both, it goes to. And that is the relationship between the two dinim of Shesuya Yai. I don't know how many people were here, I think some years ago when we had the Shir Shabbaton, number one, was that number one? Yeah? I look at Josh because he usually knows these things. So I talked about that topic. So I apologize for any overlap, but I'm just going to mention quickly what I think is a very fascinating argument in the Rishonim, and which I think is very relevant, you know, to, again, the first for sure, for any time you read this little parsha here, and that is that there's a major debate among the Rishonim about understanding what the problem of Lahoris is Bnei Yisrael as Achukim Asher Dibar Hashem Aleim Biad Moshe in the state of Shesuyayin, what is that really all about? And probably by extension, what relationship it has with Knisa LeMikdash. Right. So at the time, I tried to develop the idea that there are clearly Rishonim who understand Lahoros B'Shesuyayin in a very pragmatic fashion. Namely, Hora requires that one have, you know, his wits about him, you know, that his memory, you know, be optimal, and especially his capacity to think, you know, both analytically, critically, and creatively, depending on what the issue that he's dealing with. And not only that, but there are other aspects of Hora, and we've spoken about this extensively other times, you know, heaven basunim badin, you know, psak, you know, for the moment, and psak, which is responsible to the past, and which is roes hanolad, and therefore also takes into account, you know, repercussions. No one's a navi, but at least, you know, trying to be responsible, trying to understand what repercussions there will be in the future. So hora clearly is one of those things that requires a very, you know, special kind of individual, number one, but a special individual who also is in an optimal state. And therefore, it's very easy to suggest that the problem of Shesuya Yayin when it comes to Hora is a pragmatic problem, and that is, you know, the danger of mistakes. Technical mistakes, for sure, and that's why I'm adding the other dimensions, right? Even more subtle errors, or just not, you know, doing, you know, not giving the task its proper due. And since a lot is at stake in Hora, so obviously the standards, the threshold of being Mor Hora are very high ones indeed. If that's the case, then likely it has very little to do with the first halacha, namely the Knisa, you know, LeMikdash, in a state of Shesuyayin. And indeed, the fact is, as the Ramban and others note, Ramban notes it for a reason, but the facts are agreed upon by everybody, they're consensus facts, and that is that some of the details that govern, right, these two applications, I mean, Shriya Yayin in the context of the Avoda or Knisa LeMikdash, even the Avoda and Knisa LeMikdash might be a little bit different from each other in terms of, you know, what is Meshaker and what is the Onesh, etc. But certainly when it comes to Hora and Knisa LeMikdash in that broader application, there's no death penalty in Hora. There are other important nafkamina as well. And therefore, the idea that we're dealing with two different dinim is something that logically, you know, seems very clear. Indeed, to use the language of the Ramban and say from mitzvos, I probably won't get a chance to quote it, but in Mitzvah Ein Gimel, which is where this takes place, maybe I will get that quote, that one line, the Ramban says basically, Ramban is unhappy with the Rambam, who integrated in Mitzvah Lo Sase Ein Gimel these two as one. And in the after a very, very long piece where he criticized the Rambam on many grounds, number one, he thinks that it's a low, shouldn't be a, Rambam holds that this is a Lo Sase, the Horoah part. Ramban says that it's his opinion, it's a Lav Haba Meklal Ase, which is an Ase. He says, Mimanav Shach, if the Rambam was right, that it really was a Lo Sase, then why isn't there Malkus? It's clear, according to the Rambam, there's no Malkus. Less clear in Yad HaChazaka, but implicit in Yad HaChazaka, explicit in Lo Sase Ayin Gimel. Why is there no Malkus, says the Ramban, Im Kvar, if it really is a Lav? It's not a Lav Shebeklalos, he argues, and the Minchas Kina collaborates this, because the conditions for the two included dinim, Knisa LeMikdash and Hora, are different, so that maybe the Nosei Kelim and Sefer Mitzvos, the Leiv Sameach and the Megillas Esther, they discuss that question, but Ramban certainly seems to think that that disqualifies it as a Lav Shebeklalos. So why isn't there Malkus? But the most important comment that the Ramban makes, if I can find it here, just give me one second, is... The biggest comment that he makes is that he just thinks these have nothing to do one with the other. Just one second. V'ra'isi b'chibur ha'gadol. I'm not finding it. Again, if I don't find it, I'll just leave it because I don't want to take the time that we have. But you will find it if you look for it. Okay. And if you don't, hold me to it. The Ramban basically says at one point that these two things belong in two different mitzvos. And, oh, here it is. Okay. I think it's here. Yeah. Ba'odani omer ka minio sa'elu minayayin ba'avoda u'bahora lo yimanu mitzvah achas kedivrei harav aval nimno shtayim b'cheshbon mitzvos. Shehem shnei inyanim chalukim ein lohen dimyon ze baze. That makes it pretty clear. V'din shneihem ba'onshim einan shaveh. Right. So the Ramban thinks that these are completely unrelated to each other. So basically, there's a whole group of Rishonim who thinks that Tos and Hora is the mechayiv of Shesui Yayin. Rashi and Beitza and Avdalad Omen Aleph and Rashi and Krisus and the Shiltos are all sorts of nafkamina that we discussed at that time when we elaborated it more fully. The question is, what does the Ramban think about the nature of the Isur Hora b'shesui yayin? That's not clear. There are achronim who suggest that according to the Ramban, also the din of Hora is a ta'us or shibush problem, whereas the problem of Knisa LeMikdash is a din in Yuchsavoda. If you were, you know, the Rambam, and you were classifying, you know, these two dinim, and you held like the Rishonim who think that they have nothing to do with each other, you'd put one in Hilchos Bias Mikdash, and you'd put the other in, you know, Hilchos Sanhedrin, or in Hilchos Talmud Torah, perhaps. Actually, in Yoredeya, this question is dealt with by the Rama in Yoredeya Simin Reish Mem Beis. Actually, interesting context. It's the Rama on the Shulchan Aruch, which speaks about Talmud Shelohi Gia Lahora, right, is Asur Lahoros. And of course, the Gemara, and then later the Rambam and the Talmud Torah, and then the Shulchan Aruch have very harsh words about such a person. You know, he's Migase Ruach, and he's Machriv Asa Olam. And then the Rama says, and also when you're in a state of Shasu Yayin, you also shouldn't be Mora, implying that the problem is that you're not qualified at that point. And presumably the common denominator is the fear that, you know, that you will render incorrect tzaken. And for that reason, there's all sorts of discussions, like what level of hora are we speaking about? So, for example, the Gemara seems to say that anything that a tzaduki would get right, which isn't that much, in other words, anything which is mefurish in Torah Shebichsav, does not come under the rubric of shasui al yoreh. But according to the Rambam, pretty much everything else does. The Shulchan Aruch, on the other hand, the Rama, says if there's a very well-known psak, like, you know, that's muskam, even if it isn't something that a tzaduki would know, meaning it's rooted in Torah Shebaal Peh, it may even have once been controversial, but let's say in the present, it's the uniform view of the poskim, the Rama says then that also doesn't come under this rubric. The Shach, in Yoredeya, on that spot, says probably the Rambam will not agree with this idea. So again, if we're talking about Tohus, obviously one set of criteria would dictate, you know, what is and what isn't considered problematic. But it seems that the Rambam certainly, and maybe the Ramban too, but the Rambam is even more intriguing because he does integrate these two. The Rambam integrates these two together in Sefer Mitzvot, as I mentioned, but also in Hilchos Bias Mikdash. At the very beginning of Perek Aleph, he speaks about this problem, and he writes, Kashem, and the word Kashem is always a loaded, Kashem and Kach, as we know, are always loaded terms. Kashem sh'asur l'koin li'kanis l'mikdash mipnei ha'shichros, Kach asur l'kol adam ben koin ben yisrael l'horos kishu shasui. Afilo achal t'morim o shasa chola b'nishtab sh'daitim ma'at al yorev, sh'nemar l'horos is b'nei Yisrael. Bimhor b'davar shum b'furish b'tora ad she'eduhu ha'tzedukim, I didn't make that up, mutter, kegon shehorash asheretz tameh atzfardeh atahar, adam asur ukiyose bazeh. Right, and then he adds, "Umutar l'shikar l'ulmo Torah, afil halachos of midrashos, uhu shelo yoreh. Ima yichacham kavua lahora, lo yilamed she limudo horahi." Which is also an interesting issue. The question is, what does the Rambam really think? What is this kashem, despite the fact that the level of onish is different, the circumstances are different? Surely, you know, what the Ramban says in Sefer Mitzvos is exceedingly, you know, reasonable. Like, none of us, either, on our own, would have integrated these two things together. However, they are in one parsha in the Torah, in the context of the aftermath of Misas B'nei Aharon, and I'm even suggesting that the Lahavdil may even go on both psukim. So clearly, what you have to say for the Rambam is something, on the one hand, very inspirational and profound, but a little bit scary, you know, also, and that is that the Rambam thinks that Hora, and even those who disagree with the Rambam unquestionably hold this way, but they just don't think that this is what the Isra of Shesu Yayin and Hora is. The Rambam thinks that Hora is something that is a kind of a Davar Shebikdusha, meaning that it is something which, of course, goes well beyond being informational. It's just transmitting, you know, knowledge, or processing, you know, the data and spitting out, you know, an answer. Clearly, we don't look at poskim that way, morei hora that way. They're, again, the true morei hora are people who are, you know, whose wisdom and whose personality, as I like to say, their attunement to the totality of the system, you know, is part of the process of their hora. It needs to be, and as such, being Mora Hora is something which, in some respects, is like Knisa LeMikdash. I don't mean that, you know, in a mystical way, although probably it's a little bit true in a mystical way as well. Again, last year we spent some time on Birchas HaTorah, right? And I always like to quote, you know, the makor for Birchas HaTorah being Kishem Hashem Ekrohav Godel Elokeinu, right? The Mikdash is defined, you know, as the makom Asher Shachan Shemo Sham, right? In the sense that there's a sense of Lifnei Hashem, as we know, in the Mikdash that doesn't appear anywhere else. It's a way of accessing certain aspects, impossibly but necessarily, of the Ribbono Shel Olam, being in that place, in those places. And of course we have that, you know, Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but especially ironically for the Ramban, of course, who in Sefer Mitzvos thinks that Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo based on this. Limud HaTorah, and of course Horah, you know, representing, I guess, the culmination of that in and the you know, the achrayus that Lomdei Torah have, you know, to search for truth and to immerse themselves in the process and integrate themselves in the process. So in some respects, what we're really saying is that being nichnas lemikdash, with everything that implies, and being mora hora require the same level of purposiveness, cognizance, and awareness. And in a little bit, the Chinuch does say that. Again, he doesn't even talk for some reason. Usually the Chinuch, you know, Chinuch is always constructed around a lot of different marks in here. One second. The Chinuch is always constructed around the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos and the Ramban's critique. Did I bring the wrong volume? No, I brought the right volume. Okay, just one second. So it's curious that he doesn't even mention the Ramban in this particular one. Usually the Chinuch relates to both. But he, like the Rambam, he... One second. Like the Rambam, he... Okay, if I can't find it, I'll give up on it again. Of the Shmini, okay. Is it Kuf Chaf Kuf Membes? Where is it? Like the Rambam, he counts these as one. But he has just a very interesting line, a very unself-conscious line, which I think is particularly significant here. When he talks about the Shirashe HaMitzvah, okay, I'm getting closer to it, might as well read it. Shaloli Konesh Suyayayim B'Mikdash V'chein Shalo Yoru Shasui Shorash HaMitzvah Yadua. That's already interesting. She'ein roi lehis'asek b'dvarim hayakarim b'tachlis hayoker k'mo inyani HaMikdash v'divrei Torah rak be'es she'yah adam yusha b'dayto mechuvan b'chol ma'asav ve'ein laharich b'dvarim pshutim. Okay. So, his dvarim pshutim, you know, that's a powerful statement. But basically... obviously, the chashash of to'os or shibush per se has nothing to do with the knisa l'mikdash part. Because again, the knisa l'mikdash part applies even for someone who is not being oveid, right? And it's doubtful in general whether the chashash is that he'll corrupt the maisa avoda, right? It's unseemly, right? The lack of being in a state, you know, which reflects kedusha sagavra. And the status of being a proper oved in the mikdash, right, is something which disqualifies him and is in its own right offensive, right, to the makom mikdash and to the avoda, and in broadly speaking to avodas Hashem. And the Chinuch is saying that same idea applies to a person who is mora hora. I always like to say that, again, going back to the bain, it's interesting that the Netziv has a comment throughout his parish Allah Torah that whenever the Torah uses the expression, sometimes uses the Torah uses the expression bain, and sometimes it says bain, like bain hatam, bain latame, bain latahar, bain la kodesh, bain lachol. You could just say bain kodesh lachol, right? Which we sometimes do say, or often say, right? Bain tame latahar. So when do you say bain? When do you say bain? So the Netziv says you always say bain when there are intervening, when there are categories in between. In other words, if on the continuum you have a single moment when something is either tameh or tahor, passes from one into the other, or kodesh and chol, so then it's enough to say bein. But when it's more complicated than that, there are multiple mechayvim, there are in-between states, you know, the brisker bein ashmashos, that's a bein. So I think it's very fascinating. Again, also in the end of the parsha in Shmini, the Torah speaks about like the last pasuk in the Lahavdil bein atameh bein atahar bein achaya hanachelas bein achaya shalonak teachal. I think that's actually where the Nitziv, you know, one of the places where he makes a cup, but he makes it a bunch of times in his parashah HaTorah. So the point is that in Horah, you know, not just out of fear again for taus or shibush, and for being machshil Klal Yisrael, but there's an awareness that this is a process that requires utmost engagement and seriousness, and therefore being in a state which is conducive to that. Because it isn't just trying to figure out, you know, we paskin like this or we paskin like that. Sometimes that's what it is. Sometimes even that judgment, you know, requires a lot. But often, the policy aspects of it, or just the intrinsic determination, you know, requires that a person be on a certain level. So it isn't just that we're concerned that that incorrect psak will emerge. What we're saying is that it turns into a chucho tlula, the process. It's irreverent to what should be the most sacred of processes, right? Not to be in a proper state when one engages that issue. It's interesting, in Yoredeya, in the Pesachei Tshuva, and others engage the question, certainly Machlokas, half Machlokas, we've shown them already, whether there's a difference between the Horas Yisur V'Heter, for example, and Choshem Mishpat. The Bala Itur takes the position that when it comes to Choshem Mishpat, you know, Horah B'Shesu Yayin isn't such a problem. And I think the idea behind it is it's Hefshe B'Chazara. If you're worried about Shibushim and Ta'us, you know, you can always, you know, write a check. And that, of course, you can't do necessarily in Yisur V'Heter. Is there any difference between Lekula and Lechumra? Right? Those kind of questions. But if my understanding is correct in the Rambam, and I think that that's what the Chinuch was kind of suggesting as well, and again, I'm not sure that the Ramban doesn't think that that's what the separate mitzvah maybe of Horah B'Shesu Yayin is also, I'm just not sure about that, then there shouldn't be any difference between different areas of halacha, just like for the Rambam, as long the Rambam basically thinks that if a tzeduki would know it, because it's Mefurish, B'Torah Shebasav, then there's no shame Horah at all. That's just, you know, that's just, you know, something which is golui umafursam, you know, the adua. But anything that has a shame Horah, the level of difficulty becomes irrelevant. It's the process itself. So what does this all this have to do with chukim and with none of aviyu? So I think the answer is it has a lot to do with it. The idea of Torah sachukim or you know, b'chukosai shehu ha-melim ba-Torah, and this, again, clues into a lot of the other things that we've been discussing, could really be understood, I think, on two different levels that overlap. One, of course, is the samchut, the authority, you know, for listening, for being, for responding to the tzivui, you know, in matters of halakha. And as far as that is concerned, chukim, obviously, are the gold standard in reflecting motivation and commitment and devotion. That's one of the ways that actually the Or HaChaim in Parshas Kukas explains the phrase, you know, Kukas HaTorah. He has another explanation too, a longer one. But then he says, "B'derech remez yirtze ba'omro Kukas HaTorah shem yikayma mitzvah zu Agama yosa chukah below tam, mala aleim akosav kilu kimu haTorah shetziva Hashem lemar, ki kium haMitzvah below tam yagid hatztakat haemuna, haskamat haNefesh lekayim kol mitzvah sabore. Zelachahos ulai kilatam ze rotz Hashem shetitmaser lehem haMitzvah b'derech chukah. Right. This is the crucible to establish, you know, that your commitment, you know, is not contingent upon, you know, your intellectual understanding. And it establishes you as a mitzuveh. It's not just a test of your emunah, but it establishes the tzivui aspect of every mitzvah. But to shortcut these things, in light of our discussion about Nasa v'Nishba and what we were discussing about that, and in general, I think that there's another element of chukim which overlaps that, but goes a significant step further, and that's the idea of the inner logic of halacha that we often speak about. The chukim, as we know, most rishonim are the opinion that chukim have a reason. Right. I mean, the Rambam was of the opinion in Mor Nevuchim that it's a debate in Chazal. That when we say things like Monitna Torah Letzarev Esabrios, right, that view, Monitna Torah Letzarev Esabrios, means that it's a test. I mean, there is no tam, or at least no penetrable tam, or for all intents and purposes, there's no tam. And this is a test. Again, it's a way of establishing our credentials in terms of Yerush Shamayim and Kabbalah Samachos Shamayim, the things that the Aruch Chaim just referred to that I read it just a second ago. However, ironically, but I think not really ironically, I think it's interesting, the Ramban, in his famous discussion of Kan Tzipor, again, commenting on the words of Chazal, Ha'omer al Kan Tzipor Yagi Urachamecha, right, that Meshaskin Oso, She'oso Midosov Shalakarish Baruch Hu, Rachamim Ve'enon El Exeros. So he quotes the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim about Letzarif Esabrios and about that Maimar Chazal, and he says the Rambam says that there's a debate, two views in Chazal, whether there are reasons, you know, or just Gzeira. That's what I mean. Osa midosa shel Kadosh Baruch Hu rachamim in el Gzeiros means literally Letzarif Esabrios. And then the Ramban says, in my opinion, he got it wrong. Everybody agrees that there's an inner logic to chukim. The debate is how you explain that inner logic, or what your perspective is on that inner logic. And, for example, that's what he's speaking about in terms of Kan Tzipor. He first of all interprets the words Litzarif Esabrios means to shape or to cultivate a halachic sensibility or value system in man. That's what Litzarif doesn't mean to test. It's not a meaningless test of authority. It's a way of shaping or forming, right, the human personality in a halachic way. And in terms of the Kan Tzipor, again, we've mentioned this in the past, it's not, you know, save the whales. It is, you know, the whales, you know, can often be a methodology, you know, for sensitizing and you know, cultivating within yourself, right, a greater sense of Rachmanus. So the Torah doesn't speak about trivial things, says the Ramban. That's what we mean, that it's gzeros, right? It's not rachamim, not feed the birds. It is gzeros, meaning it has a bigger, you know, and more ambitious, you know, program for transforming human beings. Ironically, you know, it may look like save the whales is a greater expression of empathy, but in the end of the day, you know, we see where it can lead. In other words, if you extend the level of rachmanus to animals, you know, that you do to people, then the net result of all of that is to undercut, you know, the foundation for empathy and also the quality of that empathy, which is not to say that we, you know, shouldn't be nice to animals, and we shouldn't be nice to them in its own right. But the idea that that's what, you know, the mitzvah satorah are about is to kind of trivialize them. So the Ramban thinks that everybody agrees that there is tam l'chukim. The Rambam himself, you know, says we paskin like the view in Chazal that say that there are reasons. But even more fascinating, my time's drawing to near, but the Rambam, of course, in a very famous passage at the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, speaks about the priority of chukim over that of mishpatim. And again, this is particularly striking because if you didn't know it, then you certainly would have anticipated that the rationalist Rambam, right, whose you know, rationalist credentials are very legitimate. I mean, people consider the Rambam the greatest rationalist for good reason. Just like most things, they sometimes do it uncritically, without understanding the totality of his understanding and of his worldview. But the Rambam here in Hilchos Me'ilah says, Roy la'adam lehisponein b'mishpatei HaTorah kadosha v'leida sof inyanam kifi kocho b'dover shel yimatzei lo tam v'lo yeda lo ila al yehi kal be'inav v'al yaharos la'alos al Hashem pen yifrotz bo. Very interesting language, right? Especially in light of, we're talking about Nadav and Avihu. V'lo tehei machshavto bo kimachshavto b'shar davar kol. Bo rei. Torah the Meila. Then he discusses the Meila problem, which I'm going to leave for a moment. Meaning, it's not just that you shouldn't. Ram's not talking about, you know, whether you have to observe them. That's a davar pashut. He's talking about attitudinally. Should you be looking at these, you know, looking askance or questioning, you know, raising your eyebrow, you know, essentially? The Rambam says you shouldn't be doing that. Hare, nemar batara ushmartem es kol chukosai v'es kol mishpatai v'asisem osa. So, of course, as the Rambam is about to tell, what is the shmira of chukim as opposed to the asiya of mishpatim? Right, it sounds like we have to cherish or we have to not just, you know, ensure compliance, but we kind of have to guard, right, the attitudinally, right, how people look at chukim. Ram says, Omru chachamim, litein shmira v'asiyah l'chukim kimishpatet. V'asiyah yidua sheyasa chukim, v'ashmira sheyizar bahen v'lo yidameh shehen pechusen min ha-mishpatim. Again, it's intellectual and it's attitudinal. Hamishpatim hima mitzvah shetam and galui, betovas asiyasim v'lamadze yidua, ganisa gezel shvikostam and v'kibudav. The lists of these things are themselves interesting, but not for now. V'chukim hima mitzvah she'ein tam and yidua omr chakamim chukim shechakakti l'cha, according to the Gemara Numa that Rashi quotes in the beginning of Chukas, ein l'cha rishus l'har her bahen. V'gitzor shal adam nokfa bahen, v'umas olam meshivim aleim, ganisa basa chazir, basa b'chalad aglarufa, paraduma, sir mishnaleach, and so on. And then he says, and then finally, v'igdima Torah, right, tzva'eha, al ha'chukim sh'ne'amar u'shmartim eschukosai v'es mishpatai sh'yasa osama adam v'chaybet. Meaning the chukim take priority over that of the mishpatim. So this doesn't make the Rambam less rationalist. What it means is that he understands that a truly rationalist Yahadus that isn't also narrow is one that particularly is informed by an inner logic. And that inner logic is expressed dramatically by chukim. So Mefarshim don't exactly say this, but I think that is why, you know, b'chukosai tishmoru shu amelim batorah, and the idea of, you know, chukas haTorah is exactly that idea, meaning mide taharos v'kadshim, or mide chukim, nishma, that even the mishpatim and even the other mikzos haTorah have to be looked at not only rationally, but rationally, right, in an inner logic, halachic way. You can call it lamdas, or, you know, based on the hashkafa of halacha, but based on the coherence of the totality of the system. Exactly in the same vein that we were talking about nasav and nishma, right, being a nishma which is generated from the nasa, inspired by the Rav's, you know, ish halacha idea or ideal, which is really the foundation for all of this. So if that's the case, then I think we can really appreciate that the psukim that speak about Knisa l'mikdash, you know, and Horah, and as one din that require a certain yishuv adas, that require that a person be it, you know, at his, not just intellectual, his emotional, his spiritual, his balanced best, is a recognition that Horah really requires the mentality of chukim. Meaning, and in two senses, meaning, number one, going beyond simply practice, But, you know, to being a mitzvah, to understand that this is something which defines our existence, gives us purpose, but even more so, the idea that there is an inner logic here, and to find that inner logic, right, a person has to be in a state where all of his capacities, you know, work properly. And if they don't, then in addition to the possibility that he will render incorrect Piskei Halacha, which I don't think is what the Rambam thinks this is all about, but the chashash rachok of it, or just the process itself, would reflect a pragmatic orientation towards Limud HaTorah and Psak Halacha and Shmiras HaMitzvos, which would be completely untenable. For this reason, I think the Rambam does think that there is a lav, like Knisa LeMikdash, but there's no Malkus, because it is a lav Shem B'mayis. Minchas Chinuch says it's a lav Shem B'mayis, but he means it technically. He says, well, in a lot of the cases, you know, Dibur, maybe only Tmura is a Dibur Sheyesh B'mayis, and then he struggles with it. He says there's mixed evidence in the Rambam. I think it's related to many other Rambams, where the Rambam thinks that lav Shem B'mayis isn't defined by the way that you violate, but again, the essence of the violation. This too, it's not the whole rub bishsuyayin. It's the perspective that is unacceptable. I believe the Rambam Shita and Baal Tosef too. Many other things that that is reflected by this orientation. So then, just getting back to the parsha, of course, everybody struggles with what the chet of Nadav and Abihu was, and everybody agrees that they were great men. And what's fascinating is the catalog of different averos imputed to them by Chazal. It's like it's enormous, number one, and its range is just also just extraordinary. You know, Shehoru Halacha Shelo, you know, Bifnei Rabbam, and Ktora Zara, and Shesuyayin, and, you know, they didn't get married, they thought they didn't need to get married. 10 different views more. If you add Mefarshim, I'm guessing you could get up to 20. Right? If you add Chassidashim, Mefarshim, where's he's not here. Oh, there you are. Okay. Right. If you answer Chassidish and Farsim,
hundreds.
Okay. I don't want to hear them. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
So, but what's fascinating to me is I think the approach is the common denominator approach. I think the Rav said this as well, and that is that it's the religious subjectivism, but even more so, it's the kind of denial of the inner logic of the need for there to be a protocol, right? A shalot tzuvav, obviously. But not just technically, you know, the lack of a matir. But more than that, the idea that, you know, if you have a very spiritual, if you're sincere and you have a very spiritual goal, so, you know, you may want to drink, not to be drunk, to, like we're talking about in the Purim context, right? Legitimately to raise your to make you feel things or you know, that heightened sense of awareness, right? And the normal halacha, you would ask Moshe Rabbeinu, right? But this is a moment, you know, in history after Hakamas HaMishkan and the bracha of Aaron and the joint bracha of Moshe and Aaron, right? The Vateitzei Esh. So the opportunity to reach certain spiritual heights, mystical heights, whatever you want to call it, not normative heights, all of that. Each one of the, you know, cataloged offenses in some respect is something that shares that common denominator. It shares a perspective which sees the world of halacha and therefore hora as something that doesn't have an inner logic, but that kind of is a way just, you know, of ensuring, you know, that the common man, you know, notwithstanding his limitations, right, will also be directed in a certain way. And that is not the way that we look at the halacha. We really see the halacha as an incredible opportunity, b'chai olam nata b'socheinu, and we really see it as something that, again, is built out of a certain inner logic. It's our job, you know, to try to internalize that and try to maximize that. So in the aftermath, you have this double... number one, they did something in the Mikdash they shouldn't have done, obviously, and they might have been inebriated. And number two, they didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu. Those are all probably all of them are true. But the bigger point is that the common denominator, seeing Haran, seeing the system of halacha in a particular way, would have precluded, or is the answer the counter, if you will, you know, to the chet of Nadav and Avihu. So that Zos Chukas HaTorah, which is also given in the aftermath that same day, in the day of Hakamas HaMishkan, and the concept of Chope, doubly mentioned in these psukim, I think underscores this as well. Okay, we'll stop here.